I'm going to try to explain some things to you that are important in my life for me to be successful in my Christian life. And so, as I was working on preparing this message, I was also doing my stories for EBS. And anybody that's ever brought a message knows you shouldn't be doing three or four messages at one time. It is difficult to keep your thought going. And so as I worked on the VBS message, that seemed to come around real easy to me. And it wasn't because it was to the audience that I had. And I knew what I wanted to bring tonight. And I said, well, it's only Monday. That's okay. I got till Friday to finish this off. And then Saturday I'll review it. And then Sunday I'll bring it. And it wasn't coming to me. I just could not put it together. There would be times when I would inconveniently be driving down the street and all these thoughts would come to me. And then when I sat down to write it out, everything left. And so I thought, what's wrong here? And it was Friday. Yikes. I hadn't even finished it. I hadn't even started it. It was Friday. And I said, well, what am I going to do now? I can't say I'm not going to do it. It's kind of late. It's too late to back out now. And I wonder where the time went. And then I realized what the problem was. I hadn't stopped to pray. And here I was going to bring you a message on prayer. And I wasn't even following what I know is the right thing to do. I know as men, sometimes we get instructions with our different pages. And we don't need those because we can do this with our eyes closed and we just go about it. But this was not going to be one of those. God said, you need to talk to me. And so I prayed and God gave me peace. And I was able to start writing my messages together. And it wasn't that difficult. Imagine that. I thought I could do it on my own. So tonight, let's get started on the right foot. We'll go to prayer, and then we'll get on with the message because I don't want to start wrong. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the truth in your word. Thank you for loving me, for being the great God that you are, for being my loving Father, one that sees past my faults and still loves me, saw my sin and loved me in spite of it, paid the price so that I could be with you for eternity. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for what you're going to do. Now, I just ask now at this time that it be you that be speaking tonight, not me, that you'd give me the words that I need to bring. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew 6, and we're going to go through verses 7 through 13. Matthew 6. See, I always think that, why aren't they turned there yet? But I open my Bible and I mark it before I come up here, so it's easy for me. So if you'll turn to Matthew 6, I'll give you a second there. And we're going to talk on prayer tonight. It's something that, you know, I heard in our prayer meeting tonight, that's probably one of the easiest things to do, but it's one of the least things we want to do.
That's right, amen.
And I never thought of it that way. How hard is it to talk to someone who loves you? And yet, we don't find time to do it. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so as I studied this, I wonder, how do I apply it in my life? And what can I give to you that you would want to apply it in your life? And you ask me, well, why is prayer important? Because God said it was important.
I didn't say it was important. He said it was important. He wants us to do that. And so here we have a pattern and instructions on how to properly pray. So you say, well, I don't know how to do that. It tells you right there. Amen. All you got to do is look into it. It gives you instruction. So we're going to go over that a little bit. And I just want to share some background with you. I was a Catholic as a child, so I did learn and memorize prayers that I didn't believe, but prayed them anyway.
That's right.
And in order to cleanse my sin, I had to say a certain prayer 5 or 6 times. Or I had to go do something 5 or 6 times. I don't find that in the Bible anywhere. Yeah. That was something that man decided because that's something that would ease your conscience. I think it is harder to go to the altar and pray 5 or 6 prayers than it is to go in your closet and pray to your Father. That should be real, real simple to do, is go in your closet. By nature, I am a loner. You may not think that because you always see me talking with people. But by nature, I prefer to be by myself. I work very well by myself. I don't need a lot of people around me to make me happy. I can take a book and go sit in the corner, and if nobody bothers me, that's fine. I go fishing. And if I go fishing by myself and the fish don't bother me, I had a great day. I don't have to be changing bait. I don't have to be getting fish off the line. I'm by myself. And I like that. So that's the kind of person I am. So we are not to use repetitive prayers that we have memorized. So if you can't change your prayer when you eat your food, God bless this food. Thank you. Amen. And you need to give it some thought. That's not talking to God. That is just doing what you want to do. But can you imagine having a conversation with someone who is reading from a script? So I decide that I like to pick on Bronson here. In Sunday school, I always use him. But can you imagine Bronson and I having a conversation and someone gave him a script and his script talks about a baseball game, but I'm talking to him about the weather? And I says, hey, Bronson, remember the weather? And he says, yeah, in the 5th inning, we scored. And I say, but Bronson, remember that it was going to rain tomorrow? And he says, yeah, but we won anyway. You know, so when you go to God, why would you bring him a prayer that had nothing to do with what you wanted to talk to him about? Amen. He didn't want a robot. Wasn't interested in talking to me. Bronson was interested about his baseball game, and I was interested about the weather. Neither one of us were interested in talking to each other. And we're not communicating. We just want to make noise and be heard. And that's how some people are. They go to God, and they just make noise. They come up with this memorized prayer that they had. It has nothing to do with what they really want. It's just something they learned. And sometimes if we're not careful, and you say, well, Mr. Mendez, that doesn't make any sense. I've told you before one time then when I spoke, is that when I leave home, as my garage door is closing, I have a prayer for safety or whatever. And it's very easy to say, God, get me to school safe this morning. Amen. It is very easy to do that. But I have to put thought into it. I'm talking to God. Not talking to somebody. I'm talking to God. See how easy it can get to be a repetitive prayer? Just maybe you're in a hurry and you want safety to get you to that next destination. You say, God, keep me safe there. Well, there's nothing wrong with asking him that. But when you talk to him, act like you mean it. Like you're talking to him. Not just saying something because, well, does it really matter? Yeah, it really matters. He wants to hear you. He wants to know from you. And we don't want to say words that don't make any sense. I'm not a robot. We have a Father who wants to hear from us and will listen. Have you ever talked to someone who doesn't really want to talk to you, that's just kind of there and you happen to catch them? And God is not like that. He wants to talk to us. And he wants us to talk to him. And he's going to take the time. Sometimes We don't take the time. It's us not willing to do the communicating. It's us not willing to go to our Father and tell Him what we have on our mind. And all the world has to offer is idols. That's all the world has to have. Now you say, well, I don't worship idols. Okay? You don't worship idols. How much time did you spend on that nice television set you bought, and how much time did you spend in your Bible? Which one's your idol and which one's your God? How much time did you spend on things that didn't matter, that tomorrow no one will care about? There's nothing wrong with going to a ball game. I enjoy going to a ball game. But if that's all I did, that would be wrong. And you know, you may say, I don't know what to tell God. Don't tell Him anything. Sit there and let Him tell you. Amen. Just sit there and listen to Him. Some of the best times I have with God is when both of us are just sitting there. I know He's there. He knows I'm there. And we're just going to spend some time together. Haven't you ever spent quiet time with someone? Were you just not making noise? You just want to enjoy each other's company? But when we have a conversation, do we always have to do all the talking? Can't we stop for a minute and listen to God? We're such in a hurry. I gotta let Him know. Well, how are you going to know what His will is if you don't listen? You're doing all the talking. Talk to Him. Then stop and let Him talk to you. You got to let Him talk to you. People say, well, God doesn't audibly talk to me. He doesn't audibly talk to me either, but He lets me know. You know, you get that twinge when you're doing something wrong. You know, a lot of times when we don't like something somebody did, we go tell other people so that we get someone to agree with us. We really don't want anybody to stop and say, well, you know, you're wrong, and you're the one that really needs to apologize. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear from that person, oh, yeah, they wronged you. They're bad. God's not that way. When you're doing something wrong, He's going to let you know. And that's how it should be. It's better for you. And so then in the next verse, I often wonder if God knows what I need. Why do I even have to bother to ask Him? Because He says He knows what you need before you ask. And He does. If He's the all-knowing God, He's got to know what I need before I ask Him. So I ask, God, why do I even have to ask you? Just give it to me. I understand that He wants to talk with me. He wants that conversation on because He wants to know what my heart is. And even though He knows what I need, I don't always ask for what is best for me. And so when He gave me what He knows I need, I probably wouldn't be happy with it. And then I would complain. God, why did you give me a blue Cadillac instead of a red Cadillac? You know, I like red Cadillacs better. And you say, well, Mr. Mendez, that's crazy. But that's how we are. That's how silly we are. God, I just want a little peace. And He gives you peace. But He gave you chocolate cake instead of white cake. Still got cake. Aren't we happy with what He gives us? Maybe because the white cake wasn't going to do you any good. Maybe it was because I was going to eat 3 pieces of white cake and put on some pounds rather than just because I didn't enjoy the chocolate cake as much. I'd only eat 1 piece, but I would still get my cake. Huh? You never thought of it that way, did you? I asked God for a lot of things, but they're not always what's best for me. Silly me. But I'm sure you're different. Yeah, right. I'm sure you're happy with whatever God gives you. And we're not. Amen. We're not. But we should be. Amen. We should be. I didn't like what that preacher said this morning. Well, maybe that message wasn't for you. Take what he gave you and move on with it.
Amen.
You know, something I used to think in the past is, boy, I sure wish so-and-so was here this morning. Or I sure wish that so-and-so shows up tonight because I'm going to really let him have it. God knows who needs to be here, and God knows who's not going to be here. He really does. So, I say, start your prayer addressing God with his title, Father. Holy God, with a reference that deserves your personal devotion, because he's an awesome God. I used to think, awesome and God should not be in the same sentence because of how the world used it. And then one day I came to realize he is an awesome God.
Amen.
I mean, there's nothing like him. There'll never be anybody like God. That's how I want to start my prayer, because of who he is.
Amen.
Recognize him for who he is. He's your Father. That's what you recognize. You reverence him. Exalt his holiness. Go to him and be serious, knowing in whose presence you're in. Don't take it lightly. Oh, I guess if you want to laugh and there's something funny that comes up in your mind when you're praying, I guess that's okay. But when you go to God, you should be serious. You're meeting someone very important. I can assure you that whoever person you like, pick an important person in your life that you would really like, and if they showed up, would you be silly with them or would you be serious with them? I don't know. I've always been taught to respect the president no matter who he is. So if President Trump showed up, I would be very respectful. I wouldn't be silly about him. I wouldn't be poking fun at him. I wouldn't be making the wrong noises. I wouldn't boo him or anything, because not because of who he is, but of the office he holds. He is the president. And the funny thing about being president is he couldn't be president unless God put him there.
Amen. That's right.
So you respect the position, just like I respect our pastor. I don't have to respect George Schaefer. I have to respect the pastor, because he is the office that, and God keeps him there. God can change him anytime he wants to. And I hope it's not soon. I really enjoy my pastor. I enjoy the fellowship that I share with him. He is worthy of your worship and deserving of your praise. He not only wants it, he's deserving of it. You know, if I told you, if you come to church, I'm going to give you $20 at the end of the service, I didn't give you $20. Were you deserving of it? You did what you're supposed to do, right? God did what he said he was going to do. He sent his son.
Amen.
And he gave us a home. He's deserving. And we should remember that. So are you ready for his kingdom to come? Are you ready for the rapture?
Amen.
I don't know that I am, but I want to be about it. Have you been about your Father's business? Are you ready to meet your God? And I don't know that anybody is. Because I believe that when you get to that point in your life where you are where God wants you to be, you get to go home.
Amen.
And so, since we're all breathing in here, none of us are ready to go. There's still something we need to do. God has something for us.
Amen.
And so, I want to be about my Father's business. I sure want him to come, but I want to determine when he comes. I want him to come on a Sunday night. Now, right now for me, this would be great. And it'd be great for you guys, because you're in the right place.
Amen.
You know, I'd hate to be home saying, I got a headache, or my foot hurts, or my back hurts, which my back hurts. But I'm sitting there watching my favorite baseball team during Sunday night service, because I could have a hurting back in church and I can have one at home. It really doesn't matter. It's still going to hurt. Okay? When I'm on my best behavior, or maybe when I'm praying. That'd be a great time for God to come when I'm praying.
Amen.
Or how about when I'm doing my devotions and I'm reading about the rapture and God comes. That'd be a great time for him to come. Or how about when I'm witnessing and that person just accepts Christ because he was the last one to get saved before he came. Wouldn't you want to be that person? That's a great time for God to come, but I don't know when God's coming. So I better be about my business. I better be in the right position. I better not be out of position. Mr. Hickson and I, we're sports people, and no one wants a shortstop to be over there by third base when the ball is hitting the hole, because then he's not going to be prepared for it. You need to be in the right position where God has you. Now, I don't know where that's at. I know where God wants me tonight, right here. Right here. This is where God wants me, because otherwise he'd have me somewhere else. So when he comes, it will be the right time. And I want to be at my best.
Amen.
I want to be at my best. His will be done. So how's this humanly possible? You see what the world's like. But one day, every knee will bow. One day, everyone will confess, whether they want to or not. And there's a lot of people in this world that says they'll never do that. But they won't have an option that day. So what is his will for me? Oh, Mr. Ben, I don't know what he wants me to be. I don't know what he wants out of me. Take a little bite. Don't have to take it all at one time. Take that next step. He wants me to read his word. He wants me to memorize his word. He wants me to witness. He wants me to serve. Take it a step at a time.
Amen.
It's when we run into things. You see, I don't believe in people burning out in serving. You know why? I learned a long time ago, when people burn out, it's because they were doing it and God wasn't.
Yeah, that's true.
When you let God do it with you, for you, and you're his partner, you're not going to burn out.
Amen.
But when you decide, well, he's not doing it, so I'm just going to do it. It's not your place to do that. Your place is to wait on God's will for your life. I'm sure it's going to be a lot better than you could do. So we have his holy word, the Bible, which will show me how to live for him and how to know his will for me. Well, what are my children going to be like? Train up a child. It tells you in the Bible what they should be like. Train them up. Show them. You know, nothing worse, and I'm going to be careful here, but nothing worse than saying, don't do as I do, do as I say. Because one day, those people or those kids are going to look at you and say, you know, I'm going to be just like you. And I never wanted that for my son or my daughter. I wanted them to be what God wanted them to be.
Amen.
And so in order to do that, I had to do what God wanted me to be. I always wanted him to have better. I can remember my son coming into my service center, say, Dad, I want to work with you. And I said, no, son, this is not where I want. I think God has bigger things for you. You go do what you need to go do. But you do what God wants you to do. Not what. And if this is where God wants you, then come on in. You go apply for a job. But I think God has better things for you. Nothing wrong with working. The Gonzalez's work together. Maybe this is Antonio Sr.'s chance to set an example for a son. Maybe that's what he needs for his son to be there, so that he needs to be the example and it helps him grow. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I know that when my kids are watching, I'm extra careful because I know who's watching, and I have to be. That's why it's so great to work at the school. You know, I'm retired, and it's easy to go do things, but when I'm here, I'm among Christian people. Not that I have to watch my language, but I don't have to worry about the language. I don't have to worry about anybody giving me any nonsense about we crawled out from under a rock somewhere because nobody believes in evolution here. I don't have to worry about hearing that kind of stuff. I'm going to get the truth here. Something Pastor did the other day, and it was a little embarrassing for me because he walked in my office and says, Brother, we quit praying. We need to start our days with prayer. And that's been our normal habit. We'd come in here every day during the school year, and we'd go in there with the teachers' meeting. We'd come out, him and I would walk in the office, and we'd pray together. And now we got relaxed during the summer, and we come in at different hours. And he's busy doing his things. I'm busy doing my things. And I thought, you're right. For when we come in here and we're both here, we need to start right that moment and pray together. There's a lot of things to pray about. A lot of things going on in this school. Heaven is a perfect place. And there's a reason for it. And that's because God's will is done there. No choice there. God's will is done there. That's why heaven's a perfect place. Now we can ask for our petitions. And it's okay to ask because the Bible is clear. We have not because we ask not. Have you ever thought of what you don't have? And when was the last time you asked God? I'm not going to tell you that if you ask for something that you're automatically going to get it. So, Mrs. Mendez, don't go asking for a 5-carat diamond ring. That doesn't mean he's automatically going to give you that. But God wants to provide for us, and he wants to give us an abundant life. Not one where we just barely make it, but an abundant life. Now, you may think, well, what's an abundant life? Well, it's having everything you need. Doesn't necessarily mean it has everything you want, but you'll have everything you need. And the Bible says that God's people aren't needing anything. So pray for your family and friends that have needs. You know, you wonder, why is a Wednesday night better attended? Because we've forgotten our friends and we've forgotten our families. There's no one in this church that doesn't have a need in their family. There's no one here that doesn't know of someone that's unsaved. You need to be here on Wednesday night.
Amen.
If for nothing else, to encourage pastor. You know how hard it is to preach to an empty church? How encouraging it is for him to know that you're praying for him. You know how encouraging it would be that if every time you walk by pastor, you say, Pastor, I prayed for you today. And I'm going to get into that right now. Have you ever told someone that you'll pray for them and not done it? I have. Shame on me. Yeah, I'll pray for you. You know why we don't pray for them? I know why I didn't pray for him. It's because I got lazy. I didn't write it down, or I really didn't pay him much attention, or they really weren't that important to me. And then have him thank you when God answers a prayer in spite of the fact that you forgot to pray because someone else was faithful to pray for him. I think that's the hardest thing when someone walks, thank you, Brother Mendez, for praying for me. And I thought, ooh, I forgot. When you tell someone you're going to pray for them, pray for them. Mean it. And you know what? Because I'm so forgetful, I stop right then and I try to do it right then and there. Because at least I've done it once. And if not, I'll forget. I've forgotten. So God wants us to be content in whatever state he has us in. And so you might think, so why don't I have a $1 million home and millions in the bank? Wouldn't you be content? No, you wouldn't. How many rich people out there are so discontented with their lives? But they don't have what I have. I may not have a $1 million home here, but I got a $1 million mansion up there.
Amen. That's right.
I got a mansion. And all the gold that I want, I'm going to walk on because the streets are going to be of gold. Mrs. Mendez and I were discussing this on the way here. We'll be walking on streets of gold. And I said, but what if I want a scooter? She says, you won't need one. You'll be able to run again.
Amen.
You'll be able to walk again. There'll be no pain.
That's right. Praise
you won't have no time to complain.
Praise the Lord.
So why do I need millions on earth when I got all the gold in the world up there?
That's right.
You know, you all heard the joke is the man try to stuff all the gold he could in his pockets. And we got to heaven, the angel asked him, what'd you bring that blacktop for?
That's right.
It's no good to you here. You don't need that here.
That's right.
So don't worry. If God wanted you to have millions in the bank and a mansion here, that's what he'd give you. But like most people, it would corrupt them to the point where they would forget their God. You know, when we go visiting, this is a known fact. When we go visiting, we purposely go to the apartments. We purposely go to the trailer parks. We purposely go over here. We don't go on the Dreaming Summit much. Those people over there, those big houses, they've got everything they need. They don't need God. They think that they got everything that they need. They don't. They have nothing compared to what God can give them. When people at work ask me or would ask me, if you don't put in the lottery with us, when we win this, you're going to be here working and we're going to be celebrating these riches.
Bye-bye.
It's a good thing. I didn't lose the $10 that you're putting in that pot. Because in reality, I'm the richest man in the world.
Amen.
My father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills.
That's right.
I have a home in heaven. I got a mansion to go to. What do you have? When I'm in trouble, I have someone that can help me. Who do you have? Your $1 million going to help you when you're having a heart attack? But my father in heaven is going to help me when I have a heart attack. Maybe he'll let me go home. That's not such a bad thing. God knows that money doesn't buy you happiness and contentment. But you can still ask him for it if you like. Nothing wrong with asking for it. And then wait on God to answer you. His answer may be no, so don't be disappointed when it is no. Because there's a lot of times God says no because he knows that it would ruin me. And why would I want to be ruined? Why would I need to come to church? I could just say, Brother Hickson, I'm going to hire you to be my personal soul-winning aide. And every time you go to the church, I'm going to pay you $50 an hour for you to go soul-winning so that I have some money in my bank. You'd find people that'd be willing to do that. He would do it just because he's going to go soul-winning. So it really wouldn't matter to him whether I paid him or not. He's going to go. But you know, if I says, you want a part-time job? You want $50 an hour for 5 hours a week? Yeah, why not? Well, yeah, Brother Leo would take it. But then I wouldn't go soul winning. And who's supposed to go soul winning? Brother Leo for me or Brother Hickson for me? No, I'm supposed to go.
Amen.
So when you think of Tuesday nights and you're tired and it's hot and you just got home, and you haven't done any soul winning. Now, I don't want to beat on people because I know that there's other ways of soul winning. And if you're doing it, that is great. You know, maybe you do better at handing tracts out of the grocery store. That's soul winning.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with it. It'd be encouraging if you told Pastor, hey, I passed out 10 tracts today at the grocery store. He'd be elated. Well, I really don't want him to know. You'd be a blessing to him. It'd be a blessing to him. We need to ask God to forgive us our sin on a daily basis. Oh, Mr. Mendez, can I do it once a week? Why would you want to carry dirty rags around all week? They stink. Your sin stinks. Why do you want to carry around? You know why? Because it's easier. You carry it around, and that way you don't have to ask forgiveness every day for the same thing that you did yesterday. But if you're like me, Satan has to hit me with a new sin because I get tired of the old one. And he has to find a way to cause me to trip. Keep a short account of sin. That way when your prayers don't have to be 2 hours long, when you confess everything you've done for the last week and a half, you can take care of it in 5 or 10 minutes.
Amen.
Keep it short. Keep it sweet. I know I sleep better, I feel better when I'm at peace with my God. You want rest? Find it in God. You want contentment? Find it in God. You want to sleep better? Find it in God. Why are you worried about that bill? Isn't it God's bill? If you did it the right way, it's his bill. If you spend it like some people I know on maybe gambling or something and you've lost your mortgage, well, shame on you. Confess your sin and get it over with. Get it right. Get on the right track. God doesn't want you to be on the wrong track and then feel guilty. I can't go to church because I've been sinning. God wants you, okay, well, let's get it taken care of. Let's get you back on the right track. Let's far from the east is from the west. That's what he's going to forgive you. So why not get it cleared up and get it done with? I know when someone is a pain in my side, I have found it that instead of getting mad at them and trying to find a way to get even with them, I pray for them. And usually, well, all the time, not usually, all the time, they're no longer a pain in my side. They're someone I pray for. That's hard, Mr. Mendez. It's not as hard as you think. It's a lot harder to be complaining to God about them all the time. Well, God, why don't you move them out of state? God, why don't you get them out of the way? God, they're bothering me. God, help them. They must have a problem. How can I be a blessing to them? God will change your heart. That's the right way to do it. I don't want to get mad at him no more. You know why I don't want to get mad at me? You know who it affects then? Me. Now I'm the one that's mad. Now I can't pray. Now I can't sleep. Now I can't do right because I'm mad. Why would I let them ruin my relationship with God? God, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to love them, and it doesn't matter what they do. That's hard. Let me tell you, it's not as easy as you think it is. It's hard, but it's possible. It's not impossible. And I know that I can change me, but I can't change them. It's not my job to change them. It's my job to change me. That's between me and God. And let him change my heart. Let him change my outlook on life. And then go from there. And then learn to ask for protection from the devil. As he is out there to destroy you. He's out there to destroy your testimony. He's out there to destroy your family. Now, you say, Mr. Mendez, how could that be? I'll give you a good example. Can you imagine how many people would be affected if I stumbled in here one day drunk? That's that liar, Mr. Mendez. Look at that fake. Could I get my heart right? Yeah. Could I get back on the right track? Yeah. How much did I damage on the way there?
That's right.
Watch yourself around your family. I mean your extended family. When you go to your family outings, I mean when you are around other Christians, if you don't practice it around your friends at work, you won't practice it around. It'll slip when you're at church. Okay? Let me just tell you that. You practice what you preach all the time, not just when you're with church people. You practice it all the time.
Amen.
And you say, well, how am I going to do that? You pray about it. I've told you guys all this in the past. I can remember a time we were in a very difficult engineering problem. Had like 6 techs there, and no one could figure out how to solve the problem. I said, gentlemen, give me 5 minutes. And they looked at me and said, what are you going to do in 5 minutes? I went and sat in my corner. And everybody just watched me like, that man's lost his mind. Something wrong with him. Came back. Okay, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it.
Amen.
And they said, well, what makes you so positive? I said, that's what God told me to do. What's wrong with you? Why did you ask God? God's not an engineer. Said, oh, yeah, he is. God didn't ever do that. Oh, yeah, he did.
Amen.
God created. And this is how we're going to do it. Hard thing was that we had to set this thing up, and the part that fit in there wasn't going to get there for another month. So no one knew it was right or wrong. We all left. We all went home, 10, 12 hours away from home. Got a call a week later. The motor's in. Fit perfectly. Runs just fine.
Amen.
Did I do that? No. Did I allow God to use me? Yep. You know those guys, when they see me, they say, there's that crazy man that prays. And we laugh about it. We laugh about it, but they know that I'm different. There's something wrong with me. They know that, and that's okay. There is something wrong with me. I'm on my way to heaven.
Amen.
And I'm on the right path, and I'm not going to let the world tell me what to do. Yeah, I do stumble. I'll be honest with you. I do stumble. But a just man rises up.
Amen.
I get back up. Get knocked down, I get back up. I don't quit. Don't lay there and take a beating. I get right back up. We can put on the armor of God to fight the devil. And that's what you need to do every day. You need to put on that armor. And I like to tell people, and we're guilty of this, don't go to a gunfight with a stick in your hand. And that's what we do when we don't put on God's armor and we go face the world that morning. When we go face that world without reading our Bible, without praying, we're taking this stick and we're saying, devil, we can beat you with this stick. And he said, ah, I got this machine gun here, and I'm going to tear you up, and he's probably going to win. And so you say, well, Mr. Bennett, how am I going to protect yourself? Take on the whole armor of God. He's got a bazooka. So that machine gun going to bother you? Nah, it's not going to bother you. Yeah, he may shoot at you, he may wound you a little bit, but that bazooka is going to take care of you. So don't go to a gunfight with a stick in your hand. People say don't go to a gunfight with a knife. Neither one of them works very good. Knife, sticks, they don't work very good against guns. You might as well just put it away and quit. Read your Bible and pray to begin your day. And then pray to end your day and thank God for the many things that he's done for you that day. You don't know what he saved you from that day. You don't know that when you went down that street, if you would have been on time like you wanted to be and been there 30 seconds earlier, that semi-truck wouldn't have run you over. You don't know that. And we'll never know that. But that could have been what would have happened to you. But God will protect you. God does things for us that we never know that he does for us because he loves us. Thank God for keeping you. Don't forget that at night. Thank him. God, thank you for keeping me today. I don't know what you kept me from, but thank you. And if you can do that, you can't go to bed angry. Because remember who you're facing. Remember who you're talking to. Remember who he is. Can't go to bed angry or disappointed and be thankful. So how is your prayer life? It's something that you need to review. I can't do it for you, but how is your prayer life? Is it pleasing to God? Oh, Mr. Mendez, I've done so many things. It's over with. No, it's not. Every day is a new start. Every moment you have is a new start. You can take your time right now and start all over. Well, Mr. Mendez, I had planned to read the Bible through this year. So start. Well, it got to be January 5th, and I'm already off track. Start again. Nothing to stop you now. The only one that's stopping you now is yourself. Well, I don't know how to pray. Well, sit there and listen. Get the Bible and look at it and read it. Well, I don't know how to pray. Well, then find your prayer partner. Well, I don't have time for that. Then you don't have time for God. Well, what's that mean? Then you're not going to be successful. No time for God, no success. It's that simple. Well, I know a lot of people with a lot of money. In hell, a lot of money's not going to do you any good. When you have a heart attack, that's not going to do you any good. I care how much money you have. Now, that may not be the way that prayer is, but that's pretty close to what I do. I want to recognize God. I want to thank him for what he's done. I want to ask him for forgiveness. I want to get the slate clean, erase that board, and start over. And then I want to talk to him. But most importantly, I want him to talk to me.
Amen.
Because I don't want to be the one that's doing all the talking. You know, when someone always talks during the conversation, you say they talk too much. Well, then don't talk too much. Let God talk to you. Let's pray.